it was hard to see them go through that. It was really hard to see them go through that. So, I mean, I don't know too many people that don't have an experience with someone in suicide.
Right.
So, I mean, it's touched a lot of lives.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't think anybody is protected from it. You know, everybody is in one way or the other has experienced it, whether if it's kind of directly or indirectly. I think everybody experienced kind of the sorrow that goes along with it.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are back this week with a conversational discussion between Nick and myself, but we wanted to thank everybody for listening. I know we've had some interesting interviews recently, and it's always great to kind of mix it up and get those real thought leaders and experts on the podcast. We can sit here and we can sort of share our thoughts on a lot of things, but it's always nice to hear directly from experts doing exciting things in the industry. And we also have been putting a lot of the information and resources to some of those kind of conversations on our show notes on our website. So if you're ever kind of wondering where to get additional information or kind of where to see quick recaps on previous episodes, head to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com and you can pick through some of our show notes and kind of go through any additional resources that might pique your interest.
Yes. And also, once you do that and you checked out the show notes in addition to listening to the episodes, please let us know what you thought about it by giving us a rating review in iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. That really helps us out.
Yes. And it'll get you a chance to possibly have your review read on a future episode.
Boom. That's right. In our listeners talk back section.
Yep.
If I could say it, if I could talk. If I can say talk.
I can't talk, but
listeners talk back section.
Clearly, I'll be reading them.
Yes. We've actually been something that's kind of in the realm of listeners talk back because, like Shannon mentioned, people have actually been going to the website and reaching out to us through our contact page on the website. Wow.
This is getting interesting.
Website. And we're actually getting some more of those interviews that Shannon was talking about. People are requesting to come on and share their expertise. So they're reaching out to us, which is really cool. And it seems, you know, we're starting to reach more people, which is thanks to you guys leaving those iTunes reviews. So keep it up.
If you do know somebody that is interested, an expert of any kind, please send them our way. And we definitely do. We open all of the emails, we read all of them, and it's a kind of going through, learning more about what people do, finding out how and when they'd be a fit for the podcast. And we're always looking for kind of those considerations for future episodes and any tips from our listeners on things that they want to hear more about.
Right, of course. It doesn't have to just be interviews. It could be a taste test or product review, something like that.
We haven't done a taste test in a while.
I know. We got to get around to it.
I think the Booby Boons were the last one that we did.
Yeah, that sounds about good. Right. Sounds about right. All right, so now we're going to jump into our training recap portion. I have something that's, you know, obviously somewhat it's podcast and training related. So I want to put it in my training recap. I was actually a guest on a podcast recently. I was actually interviewed on another podcast, believe it or not. This podcast is called Ask Wynn. It's the host is Wynn Charles. It's actually a young woman who's also an author, but she has cerebral palsy. So she is talks a lot about that and dealing with that, but she also interviews people, multiple people a week, and trying to get there to kind of like us, you know, hear about their expertise and explain to them and just really kind to showcase you know, people's expertise to her listening audience. So it was a really cool episode. And it was very, she's a very inspiring person because, you know, obviously with me talking about fitness, herself, fitness is very important to her because, you know, with the condition that she has to stay physically active in order to keep what mobility she has, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's actually pretty cool. There's some other stuff that's almost like very futuristic stuff that we talk about that she's actually using to help with her fitness. So you guys go ahead and check out that episode. It's the podcast is Ask Wynn, W-I-N, and you can also probably just search for Wynn Charles. She also has a couple books on Amazon, so you might be able to find her through that website. But I'm sure we'll put it on the show notes so you guys can
definitely find
it easier that way.
Yeah.
What about you? What were your training recaps?
Well, my training recap this week is not just like necessarily a focus on just workouts. It's more... I have been working on kind of like an undertaking, and this past week was the first, so it's the inaugural Wellness Week Tampa Bay. So what this is there's actually, for anybody who, I didn't actually know this before a few weeks ago, there's actually a global wellness day, and this is really a day to not just talk about, you know, physical fitness, but really full-rounded wellness. That's including your mental, emotional, physical health. And that idea of wellness is something that I'm really passionate about because I personally am a... I don't think that wellness is talked about enough. I think it's broken into little pieces, you know, like fitness and things like that. You know, diet, working out, but we don't frequently look at it holistically and all the different pieces that truly make up our wellness. And I wanted to get more involved and really kind of start drawing attention to those people in the Tampa Bay area that are doing exciting things around wellness. Mm-hmm. And my kind of like phrase is that wellness isn't a solo journey, it's a village-wide effort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it takes a village. Well, your wellness absolutely does. Like you have a personal trainer, you have a nutritionist, you have a, you know, Ayurvedic practitioner, you have a movement specialist, you have a chiropractor, you can have a functional, you know, medicine doctor, mm-hmm. you have an acupuncturist. Like there's so many wellness components. You don't have to just think of yourself, well, I'm just going to one, I'm just going to the other. These people are all here to serve as part of your journey. It's not a standalone effort. And I really, really want to drive attention to kind of that holistic look at health and well-being as wellness. And Global Wellness Day fell on... I think it was the 19th? What was it?
Can be 9th.
Ninth, sorry. Yeah. I was like, it's a 9.
June.
It was June 9th, so mm-hmm. it was a Saturday. And I think this was only like the 3rd or 4th one. I'll link to the website for Global Wellness Day. And we used that as a kickoff for the first ever Wellness Week Tampa Bay. And it all was based out of my project, which is Florida Kula Project. And that really is that kind of brand that is going to hopefully be serving as a community for wellness professionals and also a resource for anybody who's interested in kind of how to approach wellness. And it's everything from like self-care, which is really important, mm-hmm. to those professionals that can play a key role, and how you can find them right here in Tampa yep. Bay.
So I want to ask you, unless you have more you want to explain about the wellness, I want to say, give me an example of what you did for self-care, and then an example of a professional that got highlighted in Wellness Week Tampa Bay.
Okay. So one of the self-care practices that I was recommending this week I'll give you two random ones. One was super basic, drink lots of water all day long. It's super good for you. And then another one, oh gosh, I have to try to like remember back because I was shared, go and get like a spa treatment. So actually go ahead and get, you know, I actually got a pedicure. I got like a, not like a just paint on my nails. I got like the massage and the exfoliation treatment and the full shebang that I probably get maybe four times a year. Thanks to a Mother's Day gift that you had given me, gave me a gift card. So I indulged in that. And it that was what I used to kind of kick off my personal wellness week. But I've been doing a lot of things for my wellness, including reading like books on wellness topics, very interesting wellness topics, which hopefully I'll talk about in the future. But professional, we highlighted. Well, of course, there was you.
But I did not set you up for that.
So. Yes, I'm sure.
Maybe the Mother's Day thing I set you up for, but not for that.
But I also spotlighted, my friend Megan, who has a business called Move with Megan, and she is a massage therapist, and she is also a yoga teacher, and she also does workshops. Actually, she's the one that hosted the workshop you went to about CBD oil.
Yes.
So, she's a great yoga teacher, though, and she was a real motivator when I went through my yoga teacher training, so... highlighted her and her efforts, and I'm gonna kind of continue the efforts of Wellness Week actually from the Florida Kula Project, which we'll link to in the show notes, and that will hopefully evolve to continue to highlight some other professionals. I know our friends at Movement Upgraded, I really wanted to give a shout out to because they're awesome and they do some really cool things. So there's still like a bunch of people that I need to get in touch with, and like it was a lot and it was kind of last minute, but I feel like Wellness Week sparked something.
Yeah.
And I even had some of my fellow yoga teachers sharing the hashtag, which was super exciting. My friend Rachel was sharing that. So yeah, it's hopefully the beginning of something fun and something we can repeat possibly even more than once a year. So.
All right. Yeah, I liked it. I think it was good. Definitely a good kind of initiative to start, and I think it was very productive, and I see it only getting better each year.
Yeah.
Or each time we do it,
they do, like, restaurant week, like, twice a year in some of the cities. And I was like, I could see this being, like, a twice-a-year kind of situation.
Yeah, we do a summer and a winter or something like that. Yeah,
like, something like maybe, like, before the holidays and then – or during the holidays and then something
– okay.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. It'll be back, though. Yeah.
So that was our training recaps for the week. As Shannon led off this episode with, this is going to be more of a conversational episode. You know, we have a topic that's very important, that's also been very, you know, in the news as of late, unfortunately. And I shouldn't even say as of late. It's probably been a trend that I think the last probably couple of years we've been seeing a lot more. More and more stories about. And we're talking about mainly, you know, suicide,
the suicide and mental health.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Between like the shootings. I mean, I would bump that in.
Right. I know, but I don't want to broach. That's a whole nother topic. We're probably going to stay on the more of the suicide.
Yeah.
Topics, just the trend with that, you know, obviously the school shootings, that is something that is, or mass shootings are, I think that's a complex issue. All these are complex issues, but that's a complex issue we're not going to broach right now.
We've heard a lot, like, I want to say, like, the last couple years, I feel like a lot of the major headlines you'd see recapped at the end of each year included major celebrity and public figures who we had lost and that had died of suicide.
Right. And I think the one that really kind of, I don't know if inspired this episode is the right way to put it, but it motivated us to...
It hit us, I think, harder than some of the others did.
Right. And it's, you know, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
obviously, or I should say obviously, it's just weird to try to figure out the right words to use, but, you know, committing suicide.
Yeah, we're going to just put out a disclaimer right here, right now. We apologize if we're not referring to the suicide. I know there's a lot of phrases certain people think are politically correct. We're not going to be politically correct, probably, on everything we talk about. We are saying this with the best of intentions, so just throwing that out there. So hopefully it's a general disclaimer for everything. But yeah, it's, that was, I found out, like, someone shouted it out at work and I didn't believe them because it was just like, no, you're not serious. Like, this is someone that both you and I have followed for years. I mean, he actually got his career started up in my home state of Massachusetts. And I mean, I've followed his writing for ages, read all of his books, and we both like were avid social media followers of his. And I know for you, like he did jujitsu, like you were really, there was a lot that you could relate to.
Right. And like I said, with the books, you know, you bought me books, his books for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then when we were going through, you know, when we had Ella, and then, you know, there's a big part of his life, but having a daughter.
Yep.
And, you know, you were turning me on to that. And, you know, just his, you know, being in, I've heard him being talked about on another podcast about he was an artist. You know, obviously people don't think of cooks being artists sometimes, but they, you know, absolutely are. But he's also an artist because he's a storyteller. That's why I think
terrific.
I really loved his work, you know, his TV episodes or his TV shows, and then his books, of course, were just, he was a master storyteller. And he made me appreciate not only food more, but a lot of other things, and the idea of traveling and appreciating other cultures. Not that I don't think I had a high level of that already, but being able to see, just be able to kind of experience cultures by not even being there, you know, by watching him on TV or through his books.
He approached them almost as like an anthropologist, which I really appreciated because I was always really interested in anthropology, and he would look beyond just, you know, the food trends, and he might reference, you know, how the food evolved because of historical and political events over time, and, you know, he'd reference all of the influences that make up a society, but then he would get into the people, and he would talk about, like, what these people have contributed to the culture and the food and the destination. And some of his, I think, like, was, you mentioned we've watched him for ages, and when I think I was pregnant, and when we were like in the early days of new parenthood where you're basically just, you know, hanging on, you're feeding in the middle of the night, I think we were watching like his show at all hours of the day and night, while like we were up for feedings and things. And it was just, you got to feel like you connected with people by watching his shows, not just places and food, which was, I think, what was so unique.
Yeah.
And he had a very no bullshit kind of attitude that made you feel like he was a lot more trustworthy and that you were seeing the real deal versus some overproduced, you know, TV fake out.
Right.
And you did feel like, as just a follower and fan of his, that you really got to know him. And if you've read his books and know about his past, you know he's dealt with some heavy things previously. But having seen like where his life has gone, it was pretty shocking to hear the news that he was gone.
Yeah, and it's I think it, obviously we're talking about mental health here. I think sometimes people are shocked that successful people that have that may appear to have a lot of maybe joy or something. You know, they obviously have the resources to not be or have to be subjected to things like financial issues or on the outside, because nobody really knows, unfortunately, what the real truth is. But it's I think it hits home that, you know, that the being successful obviously is a part, but having money is not, and being rich is not the key to being happy and having a meaningful life.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed very surprising to me, because like you said, he went out and experienced the world and saw people and got to experience other cultures. And I feel like that can give you a lot of experience and can help you through tough times, because you have perspective about other countries where how bad, you know, how their situation can be, how tough it is for them, and they're still happy. You know, he found a lot of that, where countries where situations were very destitute or very dire, there were still people there that were very happy.
Yeah.
You know, but it just speaks to the idea of mental illness. It's just that there's no, I don't want to classify him as having a mental illness, but obviously having some level of depression. I mean, it's hard to think that that wasn't present there with him, you know, obviously committing suicide.
I mean, it's interesting because this all timed right or on the same day or within 24 hours of new updates to the U.S.'s suicide rate were announced, and the results were staggering, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that this hit home as well, because they were literally on top of each other. It was like the suicide rate is going up, and it's going up dramatically. It's not just on the rise. It's jumped. And then we find out, you know, it was Kate Spade had committed suicide, died of suicide, whatever, like with a week before, and like in a really brutal way. And then we find out Anthony Bourdain, same situation.
Yeah.
And then we're finding out that this is actually like really on the
right, it's becoming, on the up. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at an NPR article right now that Shannon found, which is really good. I say really good, but has a lot of, I think, powerful information and statistics in it.
Yeah, really well researched.
Suicide rates have increased nearly every state over the past two decades, and half of the states have seen suicide rates go up more than 30%.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I think it was like 42% or something like that in Florida.
Yeah, it was something like...
It was really high.
It's really like New Hampshire and Vermont were the two highest ones. I think it's a
freaking winter.
It was highest in the central northern region of the U.S. with North Dakota, for example, seeing a 57.6% increase since 1999.
Yikes.
Nevada was the only state that didn't see it sell no increase.
It's because they have Vegas. I'm just kidding.
I guess.
That was a joke. Sorry, bad joke.
This is something that I think we should mention, though, as I kind of brushed, I don't want to say I brushed over, but as we talked about when we started this conversation, you know, that, you know, we're not going to go too much into the mass shootings aspect of the most of these suicides are committed through, the method is gun, using a weapon, a firearm. So that's also a part of this. You know, we're going to start talking about, we're going to try to get into the topic of maybe some preventive methods, or like suggestions for prevention. So I think that's part of the conversation. Has to be about, you know, gun control and everything like that, but that's not the topic that we're going to go down, even though it's important.
I mean, I think both of the recent ones, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, were not gun related.
No.
So, I mean, it's definitely not just about guns. And the point that I think we were both really drawn to, like, there's one stat that I found really staggering, is that often the suicides happen completely without warning. Like, 54% of people who kill themselves didn't even have a previously known mental health issue.
Yeah.
So it's the fact that mental health, we're not taught to approach mental health from a preventative measure. So, you know, we're taught how to lose weight and how to be fit and physical. And we're taught how to eat to a certain extent, to be healthy. But there are very few things, like, I can't remember anything that was ever centered around mental health,
right,
that we were taught growing up. So that leads to a very, very clear problem where, how the heck are you going to know how to identify this? If you, like, would you know if you saw it? So a lot of people are not going to be going to their doctors and saying, I have an inclination that I might have a mental health concern. They're not doing that. Most people don't even know when they do.
Right.
And that's where the trouble really lies, I think, because we're just not taught. So, I mean, yeah, we can reference some of the kind of, like, preventative and, you know, how some of these things are treated currently. But I think they even say in this article that we don't have, like, any funded prevention suicide program for adults.
That was another crazy one. Like you just mentioned, they said that the nation currently has no federally funded suicide prevention program for adults. They have some for youth, but they're also very, I would say, lacking in structure. And I think there's another article we're going to be looking at. I believe it says, I just don't want to misquote it, but I think right now, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Let me make sure I got that right.
Yes. 10th leading cause. Wow.
So then this article is also from 2017, I believe. So, yeah. excuse me. That NPR article brings up some good points, and kind of like Shannon alluded to, is that the people usually, if they don't go and, you know, log in a doctor visit talking about, you know, depression or possible suicidal thoughts, it's how are we going to identify it? Because, like you said, it's very decision to do so is made in a very short window. You know, it's very thinking about it, and they say this in this article, thinking about it can happen over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to doing it, obviously it's usually instant, almost instantaneous, which, yeah. I mean, obviously sounds, but there's no those warning. I mean, people don't know. They can't identify the warning signs. So the NPR article, and because they're talking with the CDC, they talk about starting from before these feelings even happen. You have to start working with communities. They talked about a couple things real quick, and I just wanted to, and they approach about it. They talk about citing different approaches, such as working to stabilize housing, teaching coping and problem solving skills early in life. Yep. So those are two things that's huge. I mean,
totally missing.
and that's something I think we're trying to, you know, trying to plug the hole in the dam, you know, with some of the methods we're currently using. Like, it was great. I think everybody had the best of intentions, you know, sharing the suicide prevention, you know, phone number when a lot of these recent ones came out, which that's it, because a lot of people don't know what they can and what can a lot of people do. I mean, sharing that is probably
honestly
the best thing they feel like that they can do.
Those hotlines are probably more beneficial to friends and family of people to, like, educate them on, like, identifying, you know, those people in their life that might be exhibiting signs. Like, I feel like handing a phone number to someone who is suicidal is kind of ridiculous.
Right.
But handing it to the friends and family or someone that has questions, I could see that being helpful.
Right.
Like, even if you're not going to be, even if you don't have any intention, if you have a concern about someone in your life and are wondering what to do, call that hotline. Don't sit and wonder and then kick yourself later, because dear goodness, it will haunt you your whole life.
Yeah. And that's a good way of kind of describing, like, because you see some people that's saying, you know, if you have these feelings, call this number. But it's more like, if you know somebody that has these feelings, you need to call the number, because usually those people, and I saw some people retweet or, you know, respond to the tweets saying, you know, even in, you know, in my darkest kind of, people who dealt with suicidal thoughts before, they said they probably would have never called a phone number or anything like that. So, as you mentioned, as you basically just so eloquently described, is it's really for those people, that the friends and the people that are having those individuals that they're concerned with.
Yeah.
So that's a really important thing that we want to make sure people get understand too, that we have to be working as a group to help those individuals that may be susceptible to this, you know. Remember that it can affect anyone, and I think the recent, you know, the recent kind of events that happened to, you know, the public figures is a prime examples, unfortunately, of that. So I think we need to stay diligent about, you know, being that, taking that village at, you know, mindset that, you know, like you said, when you were talking about Wellness Week,
which I will say it started the day after all of that news came out. And the reason I decided to just go ahead and do it was because of this. Because I was like, I'm tired of sitting and I'm tired of not sharing what I believe, that wellness is more than just physical fitness, and that mental and emotional health are huge components, and that this is not something people can do alone.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And you shouldn't have to. It's, I think that's kind of the trends we're seeing. We're becoming more isolated, even though we're more connected.
Yeah, the technology, what it's doing to our society. Yeah.
So it's a very, I don't know if ironic is the right word, or oxymoron.
Well, I think they used to say, like, we're all connected, 6 degrees of separation between everybody on the planet, but because of technology today, that's shrunken to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So technically speaking, there's only 4 degrees of separation, and they're saying that we're heading towards a singularity event, which would be no degrees of separation. So you think about that, but yet we have suicide rates on the rise, and we're still struggling with the idea of, like, communities and really knowing how to support each other in a true positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're getting closer and there's less degrees of separation does not seem to be doing us well in other areas. So I know we wanted to talk really kind of quickly about what some of our research kind of resulted, some things to keep in mind regarding identifying or managing suicidal thoughts and prevention and things. We could probably talk a lot about just what the research says in terms of how you identify it and, you know, warning signs and what to do. There's a lot, because there's a lot of different components, and you don't, like, there's not one sign or two signs that is going to say this person's in danger. There's not one or two treatments. There's so many ways to come at this. So we have a good resource that has quite a bit of info that I think is really helpful if you're, you know, at all interested in really getting into a bit more detail. They've got some great just bulleted out points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to quickly talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, we're not going to go. Obviously, there are many more. These are just a few that this article from DrAxe.com, who we've cited before, from definitely, I believe, provides a lot of good and backs up his information with some scientific research or scientific journals. So some symptoms and warning signs that someone is having suicidal thought. Obviously, these are, you know, it's not going to be, you're not going to be able to identify this in every person. So it's just like, yeah, they're right. Just kind of bullet points. Obviously, depression, feeling of trapped or loneliness, isolation. If they start withdrawing from friends and community, coworkers, also having mood swings, increasing the use of drugs and alcohol or prescription pills can be a point. Also, you know, and then in to speak to that, like the some other ones are, you know, talking about wanting to kill themselves. Obviously, that's a pretty big red flag. Yeah. Looking for ways to hurt themselves. You know, writing about this. You know, if some discovering somebody who's writing possible, you know, harmful writing about hurting themselves. And then, you know, there's quite the extensive list. So we'll just make sure we're going to have this on our show notes so you guys can go over it and have the information so you can help others.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
Let's get real personal here.
Okay.
Have you ever known anybody that committed suicide?
Yes. In grade school. I had somebody that was, you know, an older kid, you know, who's a few grades ahead of me and who actually did it.
Grade school?
Yeah. So like, I was in maybe like third or fourth grade and they were in maybe eighth grade.
Holy cow. Really?
Yeah. And they, and they decided to tell us, you know, like at a school kind of
function,
yeah, you know, we had an audit, like a auditorium meeting or something, you know. So
oh damn,
yeah. that was my first probably experience with it, you know. So I mean, I don't say luckily, but you know, I haven't had too many experiences since then, but that was one that obviously when you're young kind of sticks out in your mind.
Yeah.
And somebody who, you know, I was friends with, and so it was definitely something that was hard to deal with. What about you?
Yes. I lost a friend in high school. And I'm not gonna, you know, fake it. He wasn't like my best friend, but he was within my circle of friends. And this is one of those situations where I said earlier, if you ignore something and you ignore the signs, it will haunt you for the rest of your life. I speak from experience because we lost a friend in our circle of friends to a horrific car accident. And he was brilliant, talented guy. And then this other friend, we were at a party within, you know, weeks or months. And this guy said, like, you know, don't let me drink anything because, you know, I'm on antidepressants. And if I drink something, I could go into a severe depression. And he was on the antidepressants because he was so depressed that he was, you know, kind of borderline suicidal. He was at risk. And we all were just there, and I was standing across the kitchen island from him, and I was one of the people that said, don't worry about it, have a drink. And didn't he go and crash his car into a tree, like, the next day? And that will haunt me forever because I didn't take him seriously. I thought he was joking. I know, I was so hung up in my own kind of sadness and just wanting to push away all the serious. I didn't even really consider the possibility that not listening to him and not literally hearing him say, I might kill myself if I have a drink. And then I was there saying, have a drink, it's fine. So that's probably one of the most haunting of my life. But my best friend's father also was suicidal for a while and went through, I will just say, the family went through a lot. And when he was successful in taking his life, it had been a really long and painful road for his family. And since his family they're my family too, it was hard to see them go through that. It was really hard to see them go through that. So, I mean, I don't know too many people that don't have an experience with someone in suicide.
Right.
So, I mean, it's touched a lot of lives.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't think anybody is protected from it. You know, everybody is in one way or the other has experienced it, whether if it's kind of directly or indirectly. I think everybody experienced kind of the sorrow that goes along with it.
Yeah.
I think the best thing we can do, we could go over all kinds of methods and thing like that where they suggest in this article. But I think the best thing we can do is just try to offer help whenever.
Yeah.
Be an outlet to someone. You know, never turn somebody away. Never pass up that phone call or that text message or something like that. You know, it's obviously that we're talking about specifically suicide, but life is very fragile. Even people that are happy, unfortunately, things do happen. So, you know, never miss your opportunity. So that's something I think we can, I want to kind of convey is that if you need an outlet, if you want to help, be an outlet. I think that's a way to say it. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. And, we always want to be an outlet here on the podcast, you know, we always talk about, we want people to feel comfortable sharing their health and fitness stories with us. Mm-hmm. And health, obviously mental health is a big part of that. So
yeah,
if you ever need to reach out to someone, I think podcasts connect with people a lot, and they connect with you. You feel a little bit, I know I've always talked to people who listen to podcasts, there's like they're almost sort of sitting with us having a conversation.
Yeah.
So if
they're very personal, I feel like.
Exactly. And I agree. And even if we've never met and you've never, you know, reached out to us, you feel free to reach out to us if need be, you know, because we want to be that outlet if you need one. So,
yeah,
that's what I want to say.
You'd be surprised the people in your life that want to be there. So as easy as it is to sometimes feel separate and, you know, lonely, it's surrounded by people. There are definitely a lot of places, I think, that you can feel comfortable just putting out a word. But kind of along a slightly different road, I know we talked earlier about how there's just a major lack of, you know, mental health, kind of preventative mental health, and just basic maintenance of your mental health. And, I mean, do you have any kind of tips? Or, I mean, I know that one form of really great maintenance and preventative is meditation. That's probably something you're really I mean, I'd say you're better at that than me, to be honest.
Well.
But do you feel like that's a...
Yes, meditation, and like you said, personal reflection, that's a huge one. I think, I know we've talked about it a lot, but exercise is, and there are studies to back it up about how beneficial it can be to fighting depression.
Just moving your body.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, if we want to get into the really kind of nitty-gritty, I mean, I think diet is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
You know, certain inflammatory foods can help or can exacerbate feelings of not only physical illness, but I think to a certain extent mental illness, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's very important. It's managing all aspects of your health, I think, is a good overall kind of overarching theme. I don't know. I don't have too much else to give right now. It's kind of been a very, I think, keep using the word powerful, but it's something that obviously we needed to talk about, but it's I don't know, I'm at a loss for words.
It is a huge, it's almost an overwhelming topic to really wrap your mind around, and there's no real advice I feel like that we can give to the prevention and, you know, management of people who are in this state of mind. But from preventative, I think we can say we absolutely do feel like it, even if you feel like you're a mentally healthy person, know that that's a place you should sink some time and effort. Like, don't just consider your physical well-being as like the sole focus for your health. Really do give your mental and emotional health a lot of attention too. I think it's easy to overlook because it's not staring us like right in the face every single day. Mm-hmm. Like we do sometimes with just our physical presence, you know, we're literally staring ourselves in the face every day. And I think getting in touch with really being able to identify like how you feel, what triggers certain feelings, even if it's just taking your commute to or from work or school and just saying like, how do I feel today? Like, be honest with yourself. I do that in my commute home. Sometimes I do my daily reflections is what I call it. And it's sometimes just telling myself and saying the things I would not even usually admit to myself. As I've been kind of just dealing with like postpartum anxiety and things, I've had to do this just to be aware of my feelings and what's triggering them, because it's been different. It's been like completely alien things that have been triggering me that I had to figure out and make sense of. And that's something that you kind of continuously have to work at, and you need to start it when you're feeling good so that you can continue it when you're not feeling so good. Mm-hmm. So I personally would really like to see our society and just anybody out there who is looking for that, the total well-being, to pay attention to the mental health aspect.
Right.
And really give that some time and effort. But
there's plenty of professionals out there
that
specialize in this and helping you cope with this. So please look at them. I know we've talked to a couple on the podcast before. Dr. Nydia Conrad is a psychotherapist.
Yes, we
actually have got another psychotherapist coming on soon. But those people should be resources to you if you need that coaching, kind of that mental coaching. On some of the skills that Shannon mentioned. Yeah, there's some great apps out there, but you need
therapy, like actually talking to someone, like you said.
That's huge. I know that's something that...
There's no shame in that.
Yeah, that I had to do at a young age, had talked to somebody for anxiety issues. So I think talking with someone can be a huge asset to you. So looking for those individuals and really reaching out to them is going to be definitely a way to help you take care of your mental health.
Yeah, and maybe we'll link to those professionals that we know mm-hmm. through the podcast, So if you're interested, you can check them out. And if anybody else, you know, join the conversation, share those resources, and point people in the right direction.
Yep, I agree. All right, so I know this was a heavy episode, but it needed to be talked about. It's a very important health issue that we're dealing with in this country, around the world, I should say. So we needed to talk about it. So I'm sorry we might have got a little somber, but...
Sorry if this was a downer, guys.
Sorry, but, you know, as we say, these issues, you know, you gotta bring them up, and they've got to be talked about honestly, and hopefully that's what we do for all our issues on the podcast. Once again, if you guys enjoy the episodes, please let us know. And obviously with this topic, as we already said, if you want to talk to us about this topic, we won't share it unless we get your permission, of course. So, but please feel free to reach out to us. Go to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. All of our contact information is there. Then iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We love those reviews. And then the great guys that sponsor this podcast, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, hempcoffeeexchange.com. ATF is the promo code to get 20% off. So visit those websites, support the podcast, so we can keep supporting you guys.
Yep.
You got anything else?
That's all.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks. Yes.
It's a very topical issue.
I put this trash can over here because I was worried about you kicking it.
I never kicked the trash can. I don't know why you moved it. I usually kick this thing.
All right, I'm going to try this all. We're going to try to do this one from there.